You know, for the last 8 weeks, we've been talking about faith. And I could talk about it, you know, we could talk about that for another 8 weeks, but we're not going to. We're gonna be talking about hope. And, you know, we learned about how faith works, and it works because you have to do it. It works because it's work. You have to actually get involved for faith to move, and you have to get involved with it, but it also has a powerful effect. Faith does something, and faith is something you have to do, and we've been talking about that, and if you missed any of those messages, I want to encourage you to go back and check those out and give them a listen. But we're going to be talking about hope, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul lists three defining characteristics, traits of a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have these three traits. And it's faith, hope, and love. At the end of the day, when everything else falls, when everything else is done, faith and hope and love will remain. And we're called to abide in these three. You know, we are praying and we are believing that over the coming weeks, there's gonna be an explosion of hope in our hearts. And what it's gonna do is it's gonna recharge us. It's gonna renew us. It's gonna give us courage to run the race. See, hope is something that gives a power and a fuel and an energy behind our faith that makes everything different. And when you don't have it, you know. When you don't have hope, you know. You don't have to have anybody explain it to you. And there, I bet you there's a bunch of people in this room, even right now, that have something that you're losing hope about. You're feeling discouraged. You feel like it's running like sand through your fingers. And man, you started out strong. You had hope about this situation. Maybe it's a thing that you felt like God was going to transform or change, or maybe it was something that you were holding on to God for and you just feel like you're waiting and waiting and it hasn't happened. Or maybe it's just something where you just keep falling on your face and doing the same stupid thing over and over again and you need hope. Well, I want to encourage you, because over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about hope, and there are some incredible messages that are coming your way that we're going to get to hear from Pastor Ian. We're going to get to hear from Jonathan, and it's going to be a blessing. It's going to bless your socks off, so do not miss the next few weeks as we explore faith, hope, and love. And hope is the thing that we're going to be talking about. So just please also be praying along with us, because it is something that just gets under your skin and changes everything if you can get a hold of it. And, you know, Steve and I were talking last night. I went over to his house, and he's just moved. He bought a house that's just down the road, and he's up to his ears in boxes, and his hair was kind of sticking out to the side, and I brought him a donut. And we talked about the message, and we were praying about the series, and we are praying and hoping that the whole church would get a new grasp, a new hold on hope, and that hope would infuse and empower and refresh the people of God in this place. So if you want some of that, give me a clap of your hands so that Steve listening online, he knows. So first off, let's jump into, well, what is hope? In the Old Testament, there's this picture of hope. It's a Hebrew word. It's the main word that's used for it is yakal, which is to wait patiently. Noah yakaled for the water to go down. He waited patiently for the water to go down, because while he was being kept in the boat and waiting for that water to recede, he was yakal. He was waiting patiently. He was filled with hope. And so that is the Old Testament picture, the word in Hebrew of hope. But in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. It's a Greek word, and it sounds like elpes. And it means to have joyful anticipation. So you have this contrast in the Old Testament: trust God and wait patiently for his deliverance. But in the New Testament, we have a different kind of hope. We have a hope that is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we hope with joyful anticipation, because we can look back to Jesus and see that he rose from the dead, and so we can look forward and not be afraid of anything. And so we can be filled with hope in a way that is based in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so we can face things in a different and a new and a whole way that is filled with joyful anticipation. Now, when I'm talking about hope, sometimes it's kind of hard to differentiate between, well, what's hope and what's faith? Because faith has hope in the definition, you know? And so you could say, well, is faith hope, or is hope faith? Are these two the same things? Yeah, you know, one fuels the other, and then the other one feeds back into it, and so they kind of do this. They overlap a little bit, but they're not the same thing. You know, we know this for a fact, because in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three different things. But the greatest of these is love. So we know this is a separate thing. This is not exactly the same thing as faith. You know, I want to give you guys an analogy just to kind of get your hands around it, how faith relates to hope. It's like if faith is a car, and you come up to the car, and if you sit on top of it, it's not going to do anything. You know, faith works because you have to get in it, and you have to turn it on, and you have to drive the car, right? Faith is like a car, but hope is like gasoline in the car. And as you're driving with your faith, as you're going, we don't always have a full tank when we're driving down the road, right? Sometimes you're driving down the road and you are acting in faith, absolutely, but you are running on fumes of hope. And so as you're going, as you're doing what God called you to do, and you're following God and you're trusting him, and you're maybe stepping out in faith and you're doing something you've never done before, all of a sudden you find yourself in this place where you see the gas tanks just going down, 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 and that's a feeling of losing hope. Because if you choose to follow Jesus, you will struggle. You will at times run low. And if you don't stop for gas, it won't be long before you're off course on the side of the road. We're stuck somewhere. Anybody ever run out of gas? You know, without hope, your faith will falter and fall short. If faith starts us into the race, hope's gonna actually carry us to the finish line. But hope doesn't come naturally. It's not like you just wake up in the morning, or maybe some of you do. Wake up, stand up, and clap your hands and say, I'm filled with hope for this day. You know, it doesn't come naturally. We actually have to preach it to ourselves. You know, I want to encourage everybody to preach to yourself hope, to wake up in the morning. We know it's a good idea because David did it in the Psalms. He actually preached to himself hope. You can just picture him getting up and he's going, why my soul, in Psalm 42:5. I'm glad that I'm not the only one that talks to myself, that David also talked to himself. Why, my soul, are you downcast? David's talking to his own soul. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, that's not even a hard sermon to remember. In fact, you only need to remember the one line, and you could wake up in the morning and you could just say to yourself, soul, put your hope in God. And maybe that's all you will remember from this message, and that will be a powerful thing, is that when you get up in the morning, before you put your shoes on, look to your Savior and your Deliverer and say, I'm putting my trust, I'm putting my hope in you. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hoping in God does not come naturally to sinners. We have to preach it to ourselves continually. You have to say, wake up, heart. You got to pull over. You got to fill up with hope. Have you ever noticed you can't be a victim and abound with hope at the same time? It's impossible. You can't be a victim and abound with hope. You know, as a Christian, you can't be a victim. You know why? Because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. There is no obstacle in the life of a Christian that should crush our souls to the point where we have no hope. We are tethered to a hope that we can hold on to, and in any circumstance, we can grab a hold of that and say, yes, my God will save me, even though I may not feel it right now. I'm holding on to this glimmer of hope that is attached to the promise and the power of Jesus Christ himself. That's an encouragement, because I think that a lot of people live on hopelessness and being a victim. And it's a kind of fuel too. It's just the wrong kind for your car. It will ruin the engine over time if you put the wrong kind of fuel in your car. And that's what, if you're being a victim, what you're doing is you're saying, I trust in me. I trust in me, and I'm gonna grab a hold of me and poor me, glug, 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 right? I feel so sorry for myself. And then you get a little bit of false hope in yourself to keep going, and it's the wrong kind of hope. You cannot be a victim and abandon hope at the same time. Because hope is like air. I mean, you can't live without it. You know, it's a word that maybe you don't pay attention to. It's a part of your life maybe you don't pay attention to. How high exactly are you looking up from the horizon? Are you looking 2 feet in front of you? Are you believing that Jesus is coming back, that he has secured your soul, and that you have power for life through the Holy Spirit for every day in the meantime? Because if you're holding on to that, you know that hope is like air in the morning, and you're not, it's like you're barely breathing. My watch is doing this annoying thing right now that I don't know how to turn off, and it tells me to breathe. And the first time it did it, I was like, well, I am breathing. Why is it telling me that? And it's because people walk around, I don't know if you know this, people walk around and they're barely breathing. They're breathing so shallow that they've set up this little reminder to stop and go, and take a big deep breath. That's what a yawn is. A yawn is your body forcing you to take a breath because you're breathing so shallow. Everybody's going, right? And that's what hope is like. It's like air. You know, Viktor Frankl was a famous writer, psychologist, and he was stripped of everything. They took everything from him. His life's work, they just took it and threw it in the garbage can, and then they took all of his clothes, and they pushed him into a room. They shaved off all their clothes, and they put him into the concentration camp. Everything he had built in his entire life was gone. And what did he have? And what he noticed when he was in the concentration camp, that the people that died had no hope. And the people that lived did. It was like life to have hope. You know, when a prisoner lost faith in the future, his future was doomed. He said with the loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. Frankl talked about one inmate that had a dream that the war would be over on March 30th. He told this to Frankl at the beginning of the month and had hopes that his dream was a premonition of what would come true. However, on the 29th, when no sense of an ending was coming, this inmate became ill. On March 31st, Frankl writes that his prophecy came true and he died. The war was over for him. To all outward appearances, he had died of typhus. But it wasn't typhus that killed him, it was the loss of hope. He thought that on the 29th, there'd be an obvious coming. And when that obvious ending didn't come, he got sick and then he died. Did you know that the scriptures build our hope? There's a good reason to read the word. It builds hope in you to see the men and the women of God throughout scripture and what they did to go through all kinds of things, just like you're going through, and to see that they had hope. They had hope in God. They had confidence because of the blood of Jesus. And as you read these stories and you read through scripture, you can't help but be filled with hope. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." So what are some things that scripture says about hope? I'm just gonna fly through these. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "You can seize hold of hope. You can grab it." Have you ever heard somebody say, "I'm hanging on to hope"? They're not hanging on to pretend. They're hanging on to something very real. When someone hangs on to hope, they're hanging on to something that they can count on. You can seize hold of hope. That's a military idea, to seize something. You have to get up and grab it, or you're going to slip and you're going to fall. The Holy Spirit is a source of continual hope. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "The Holy Spirit gives us continual hope, for his power causes hope to abound." Hope comes as a gift from God through grace. Hope leads to joy, boldness, faith, and love. Hope also leads to comfort. We are to encourage one another with the knowledge of the resurrection. We're supposed to remind each other that Jesus is alive. Not that he was alive, but that he is alive. That's encouraging. Hope has a sanctifying effect. We know that when we see Jesus, we shall become like him, purifying ourselves as he is pure. That hope alone begins to transform the sin in our life. The hope in the resurrection, the hope in Jesus Christ, begins to change us before we even have any of the confidence or the power to get out. Hope also stimulates good works. You know, if you're full of hope, you have something to give. But if you are filled with doubt, if you are filled with low aims, if you are filled with discouragement and helplessness and victimhood, you cannot do anything good. Hope stimulates good works. So why do you need to pay attention to hope? Because hope deferred, in Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Notice that hope is directly related to our hearts. It's the why behind the what. Because you better pay attention to it, because as it starts to fade, right, your heart becomes sick. Your heart is directly related to hope. But when the desire comes, it will be a tree of life. That's a promise. If we do not seize hold of hope, we will lose heart. It's just a matter of time. The anchor verse for this series is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept in the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So I'm going to talk to you about four things real quick that when I think of what is hope, these things, we looked at all these scriptures on hope, and they're everywhere. And we said, what are four things that just jump off the page that are true? If we were going to say hope is this, what is it? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he writes, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Hope is the joyous anticipation of good. It is when you start to have a feeling like God's got this. Hope is the joyous anticipation. That's like what a little kid has before Christmas. They're not wondering if when they open the present, there's going to be anything inside. They are confident that there's going to be something in there. And when they tear open the box, there's going to be a present in there. That is the life of a Christian that is filled with hope. It is joyful anticipation of good. It means that you're expecting God to do good things. That is a mindset. That is a choice. That is a way of living that is freeing and is powerful. If you are setting your heart on joyous anticipation when you wake up in the morning, you are saying, God, what are you going to do today? It's going to be good. I mean, why did he have to teach people about prayer and say, hey, I'm not a crummy dad who gives terrible gifts like you guys are? You know, that gives bad gifts to their children. They give stone. I'm not going to give you a stone or a scorpion. You know, it's like he gives that example because he knows that what we think is that God's holding out on us. God doesn't want to give us good things. When something bad happens, we think, well, God, you know, maybe he just doesn't want anything good to happen for me. It's like, no, that's not what God is like at all. He is abundant. He is abundance. You know, when we pray for this, you know, in here on Thursdays as a staff, we walk through and we touch the chairs and we pray for you, and we prayed hope for you. And while we're walking around praying, I will go through the 23rd Psalm on each chair. And when I land on my cup runs over, I think, well, I wonder who's going to sit right there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But then when we get all the way through all of the dark valley, you know, we know what's sitting there. On the other side, a table with a cup that's running over. See, our God is abundance. Our God is not scraping his bottom of his pockets looking for gifts. He is so full of abundant gifts to give that we can wait with joyful anticipation for what he's going to do. God has good plans in store for us. I think we don't anticipate good things from God because we don't really believe truly that he's good. He is good, and that he actually has good to spare. He's abundant. And I just have to say, hope is not superstitious. You know, it's not throwing salt over your shoulder. It's not knocking on wood. You know, I hope something good happens, you know. Hope is not spiritual finger crossing, right? Where you say, all right, Lord, I just hope that this goes well, you know. It's like hope is the joyful anticipation that something good is going to happen. It's better than superstition, I wish or I want. You know, a lot of hope starts with I wish or I want, and that's fine. But where it ends is God's going to do something good. That's where it ends. You can't fake real hope anyways. We try to. We're like, I hope something good happens, but it's probably not going to. Anybody have an Eeyore in your family? Well, we don't really know what's going to happen, you know. It's like, well, you know, their motives are probably bad, you know, and this is probably going to go terrible, but, you know, I hope that God does something good. It's like, no, that's not what God is like. He is so good and he is so abundant and he has so much to give that there is no doubt whatsoever that he is planning good things for you, and you can anticipate joyfully what he's up to and what he's gonna do. You know, this is also important to say, it's not positive thinking. You know, positive thinking is a good thing, you know, glasses half full, you know, it's fine, but it's not great. It's like, you know, I'm just really thinking good things about you. It's like, okay, that's fine. But hope is God is gonna do something great with you. That's real hope, because it's found not in wishful thinking, it's found in the person of God. It's located somewhere. You have to put your hope somewhere. And if someone's trying to infuse hope through positive thoughts to me, I always am like, bleh. Because it's like, here's a thought, here's a positive thought, here's a positive thought. And it's like, okay, somewhere in there's God. Where's God in there? And when someone says, God is going to move, I'm like, yep. Now I feel confident in that. I do not feel confident in me at all. And that's a pretty realistic way to think, right? I don't really trust me. But I do trust God, and so I can anticipate that something good is gonna happen. It's not superstitious, it's not positive thinking, it's better than positive thinking. See, positive thinking is pretending. It's pretending your way into the reality, and that is a lame way to live. It's like, I hope it happens. But beyond pretending is believing. Hope is based in the very goodness of God, and you can trust in it. Number two, hope is the fuel for our faith. It moves us from the present reality to our future glory. It has everything to do with the meantime. I don't know what hope looks like in eternity, but I do know what it looks like down here. And so between right now and the rest of your life and the day that you are standing with Jesus, you're gonna need hope like fuel. And it's fuel because you can't move without it. You really don't do anything unless you have hope about it. You know, it's the reason a lot of times behind a lot of the things that we don't do that we wish we did. We wish we did this thing, but we don't do it. We hope, then we have confidence, abundant confidence. Hope is fuel for our faith. I used to have this green, lime green, Ford and truck. It was this old, like, I don't know, 1970 truck, and it was lime green. And in the back, the bed had rusted out so much that they had put wood slats in there to cover up the rusty spots. And that was my car in high school, and I was really cool when I pulled up in that thing. And so I'd come up and I'd have this big old lime green truck, and the gas gauge on it didn't work. And you know, I'm a brand new driver, and I'm kind of, you can see the wheel like this, and I'm looking through the big wheel. You know what I'm saying? Driving down the road in my Ford Ranger, looking through the steering wheel. And I'm constantly looking at that gas gauge, and it's not doing me any good. So I'm, you know, you can tap it. It doesn't, I don't know. So you know what I did all the time? I filled that thing up all the time. There was never a gas station I drove by that I didn't pull over. I mean, that thing guzzled gas, first of all. And then I didn't know when it was going to run out. And that's a good way to live, isn't it? I mean, if we're talking about hope, you should probably be pulling over constantly and saying, you know what I mean? I need some fuel here. You know, God gives hope. We can hold on to hope. So why not pull over and get refueled with hope? You know, when you start to lose hope in a situation, you can get pretty dark and you can start really thinking wrong. And you can really start to focus on what you can do. But when you're filled with hope, you start to focus more on God and what he can do. And so pull over. You know, start, you know, be just like my crummy green truck. You know, pull over and just keep filling up and keep filling up. There's a lot of opportunities in the day to fill up. And so I just want to encourage you that hope is the fuel for our faith. It moves us from the present reality to our future glory. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 had blown his inheritance, wrecked his life, is feeding pigs, which is a terrible job, and he's starving, and he can't even eat the food that he's feeding to the pigs. And he comes to his senses, and he has a hope. A little hope. Maybe if I go home to my father, if I go home to dad, he'll let me be a servant in his house. And that's all he needed to go home. Just a little bit of hope, and he was moving towards home. So he turned and he went home. He repented, and his dad ran out and threw his arms around him and restored him and had a party for him and made him a son. See, we think too low when it comes to God. You know, we just have a little bit of hope. It's like maybe we can be a slave in the kingdom. Maybe we can just go into the kingdom and be a servant. And he's like, no, I want you to be a son. See, he didn't know about the abundance that his father had. He had already given him all of this gift of his inheritance, and he had blown it all, and he came back, and he was just as abundant as he was before. And he forgave him, and he blessed him, and he wrapped his arms around him. And it's because of that abundance that you can trust that with just a little bit of hope, you can return to the Father. And he's going to restore you. He is going to bless you. So hope is fuel. Number three, hope is putting your trust in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'm so sure of this that I get emotional just trying to talk about it. I might not be able to talk about this one. Jesus rose from the dead, or why else are we here? Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 says this, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, Paul is in prison, and it doesn't look good. It looks like he's going to get his head chopped off. And what is he filled with? Hope. Joyful anticipation, the abundance of God's goodness, a fuel that allowed him to write a book of joy in jail. He's writing letters like he's gonna live forever, because he is, because he's 100% confident in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that he could stand in his present circumstances, which look totally hopeless, and be filled completely with hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, it says this, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If all we do is believe in Jesus, and we don't believe that he rose from the dead, then everything we teach is futile and pointless and powerless. But if we believe in Jesus, and we are confident in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we can be sure that we can face anything with confidence that we are gonna live forever. I mean, what would possibly change the odds of your life the most and make you bold and powerful and faith-filled and life-changing except this one thing? You are never going to die because of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can fear. There is nothing that can possibly destroy you or stop you, because no matter what, you will live forever because Jesus rose from the dead. You know, hope is forged in suffering. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead because Jesus was crucified. And that was a dark hour. There is no darker hour in the history of the world than Jesus crucified. But not everyone in here is feeling the hope this morning. It's grating against every nerve because they are not feeling it, and I totally understand it. Like, there are some things in my life that I need more hope for. And I need a refill. And I am running low. So I want to encourage you that hope is forged in suffering. As you struggle, God is going to use those challenges and struggles and difficult things, and he's going to build more hope. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, it says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hope that's put in Jesus will keep you. Hope that's put in Jesus will build, and you will become strong. It actually is developing character and making you into the kind of person who can be trusted with more and more in God's kingdom. See, God's looking for people who can handle his power and authority. He wants, through your suffering, to build you into a stronger man or woman of God with character and perseverance to stick with what God has called you to do. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So even though you're going through a difficult thing right now, God is building in you perseverance. He is building in you character. He is ultimately going to fill you with hope because of the resurrection of Jesus, because that hope does not disappoint, but also because of the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, we can be sure that no matter what tribulation we are going through, God is going to show up and show off. He is going to fill us and he is going to move. We can trust him. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. So hope is putting your trust in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ so that you can look forward to what's going on in your life with confidence. And the last one, number four, hope is an anchor for our souls. We actually sang it, an old hymn. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. That verse is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus has gone in through the Holy of Holies and left a rope, right? And it is tethered to our very souls. It's anchored there. The thought that we can grab a hold of hope and that it becomes an anchor for our soul. What's an anchor do? An anchor holds you still. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. To grab hold and say, I don't know, but my hope is anchored deep down in my soul, and is to Jesus Christ himself. So like Abraham lived by faith, he also seized hold of hope. So what does that look like? To trust in God's promises and seize the hope that's set before us. I mean, where are you at today, right now? I mean, maybe you're cruising down the road. You know, I have a Honda Civic, and it just annoys me to death about when I'm low on gas. And it says you have 17 miles until you run out of gas. And then it says you have 5 miles. It says you have 3 miles. And it says you have 2 miles. And I mean, I push that thing to the limit. I'm like, oh, that's about 5 miles, you know, to the next gas station. And I've really changed since high school, you know, where I'm walking in faith now. So I could just run low. But I, you know what? I almost ran out of gas so much more now that I have a gas gauge. It's true. And it's constantly telling me that I need to pull over and get some gas, and I don't do it. You know, if you're cruising along and everything's great and you're like, hope, 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 and you're listening to the sermon and you're like, yes, preach it, come on. And you're feeling great, and your sunglasses are on, and you're driving down the road, and your car keeps going, pull over for gas, pull over for gas. You know, you can be in danger when everything's great. Sometimes when everything's great, we're not even paying attention to where we are putting our hope. And the more comfortable you get, the more you might get in this place where you wait just a little bit too long to pull over and say, God, I need you to fill me up with hope. I need to shift my hope that is set on this or on me or on that and put it back on you where it belongs. Maybe you're running low on hope. You know, you got about a half a tank and there's a situation and it's come to mind the whole time we've been here this morning. It's been coming to mind and you know it's that area where you just have gotten discouraged. You know, especially if that's someone else and you're like, I feel powerless about this situation. I feel like it's happening to me. I feel like it's in the decision making of another person and I can't do anything about it. And you're just starting to lose hope for that person. You're starting to lose hope for the situation and you know it. And you need to pull over and spend some time with the Lord and say, hey, I don't have hope for this, but you do. Now, there are some people who have no hope in this room. None. I mean, the gas tank is empty, and you're on the side of the road, and it's a miracle that you even got in the room today. And you were saying, man, I've been on fumes for a long time, and I need the kind of hope that you're talking about right now. I need that. You reach out and grab a hold of Jesus, and he has it. There's people sitting all around you that would talk to you right now about what that hope is and how to grab it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we confess, Lord, that our souls have become downcast, Lord. There are ways that we have lost hope. There are ways that we've lost sight. We've lost focus. We're not putting our eyes fully on you. Lord God, lift our eyes. Help us to see the hope that is found in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Jesus, save people today. Jesus, fill people up with the power of the Spirit of God, with your hope to overflowing and abounding. God, I pray in the coming weeks as we walk through this series that you would fill the people of God at Grace Chapel with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you guys all at the 4th of July.